What's going on, everybody? I've got Batman on the podcast. I've got Kems FB himself. You guys are in for a show. Welcome to USA FBL Fingerboard Podcast. I'm your host, Levine Cunningham, and I'm excited to be chatting with Colin of Kems. Colin, also known as Kems FB on Instagram. Kems, thanks for coming on the podcast. How are you?
Good, man. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, super stoked to have you on, man. So we have the first ever, I want to say, exclusive face reveal for Kems FB, Mr. Colin himself. I'm stoked. This is a highly anticipated podcast episode when we kind of put out some feelers and let people know that you guys, like, you were going to be on the mic. And the internet, you almost broke the internet. I mean, like, people were just utterly excited for this episode. So I'm super excited to have you on the podcast. Glad to get into all kinds of stuff. I know your history and fingerboarding and skateboarding goes absolutely deep, and I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, man, me too. I'm glad to be here.
First off, let's talk about what we're looking in the background here. Like, I'm seeing skateboards on skateboards on skateboards.
Yeah, so in the past, I think it was like at the end of July, I opened up a skate shop here. So there's quite a bit more around, but I can't show you. You know, I've been running Kems for like 7 years or so, and I had created a skateboard brand before that. And I've always been, you know, I've always loved skateboarding. I've always had the idea, oh man, I want to open up a skate shop. I never thought it would happen. And then one day, this space became available and I took the opportunity. And so we built the shop. It took about 2.5 months, 2.5, 3 months maybe to build the shop, and opened at the end of July this year.
Let's kind of backtrack a little bit. Let's talk about your skating history. When you started skating, I know skateboarding runs deep in your blood, and how you got to this point where you got your own standalone brick and mortar skateboard shop.
So yeah, I've been skateboarding for, I started when I was 11. I'm 38, I think.
Okay, 37 gang here.
Yeah, and so I've been skateboarding since I was 11. My brother skateboarded before me. He's 10 years older than me. He didn't introduce skateboarding to me, but once I started showing interest in skateboarding, like in middle school, he noticed it, and he started showing me his old skate videos and such. So as soon as I found skating, I was just absolutely in love. You know, I had a small friend group, and there was no turning back. I quit all my other sports. I was in baseball, basketball, and I just absolutely quit those, completely obsessed with skateboarding. I skated for most of my skate career. I was skating no sponsorships. I think I had a small skate shop sponsorship for like a week or something when we had a core shop in town. And then there was another shop that I used to hang out with in a different town. Probably like around 2016, I always had a tech deck in my pocket. You know, ever since tech deck came out, I was obsessed. Absolutely. Every time I went to the store, I was buying a tech deck. 2016 came around. I was new to Instagram, or well, maybe not new to Instagram right then, but relatively new. I found the world of fingerboarding on Instagram and decided to make one day, and then it developed into all of this.
That's crazy. So did you always kind of know that you wanted a skate shop, or is this kind of something that you kind of developed into?
Well, I didn't always know. I never thought I'd be able to open a skate shop. I mean, especially as time went on, we see brick and mortars and skate shops just falling away. You know, shops are closing every day, malls are closing. And I had never imagined that I'd be able to open a shop. And skateboarding doesn't really have, it, it it's not extremely profitable. With the support with Chems FB and all my online sales, and then finding a space that the rent was low enough, it allowed me to have this space. Yeah, I mean, I didn't. I always had the idea of having a skate shop, and I had the name Skate 618 for a few years. I never imagined. I wasn't planning on it or anything. The space became available, and I just took the opportunity.
No, I'm stoked for you. I had the opportunity to run my own fingerboarding shop for about a year and a half, and like the joy of having that shop and just all the memories and relationships that came along with it, irreplaceable. So I'm excited that you kind of got started on that journey and you're headed down the same path like that. So I'm super stoked
Yeah.
for you.
Yeah, I'm super stoked. It's been amazing. It is a struggle to stay open, you know, but I think I can make it happen, and it's only growing, you know, each day. I have a small team of friends and coworkers, and they run the shop while I'm working on chems and stuff like that. So, they really hold it down, and them and the community has shown like the greatest amount of support. It's absolutely insane. So I hope that, you know, having a shop in town helps grow the skate community, and it's already bringing us all together. I think also that now that we have a central location, all the skaters in town, and even the skaters from town, you know, surrounding towns, I've started advocating to get a skate park built here in Edwardsville because we've never had one. I hope that we can make that happen, and then once that does, it's gonna grow the skateboarding scene and the fingerboarding scene. Live and do what I love to do instead of working my day job as well, you know.
Oh, definitely. That's always kind of been the dream, I guess you would say, and probably the dream for a lot of people. Definitely the dream for myself. So, where exactly is this skate shop located? So, if someone wanted to walk in and check it out and meet you in person or just, be involved, like, where's it at?
We're located in Edwardsville, Illinois, so it's near St. Louis, and the address is 618 Franklin Avenue, Edwardsville, Illinois.
And so I just learned that I drive through Edwardsville probably 10 times a year. I live in Indianapolis for many of you guys that are familiar with where I'm at, but my family is in Branson, Missouri. And so the only way for me, the most efficient route for me to get from there to my family is to drive straight through Edwardsville into St. Louis and cut all the way down to the southern tip of Missouri. And so I am definitely going to be, if you're open during Christmas weekend, like I'm going to definitely make a stop in there for sure.
Yeah, well, even if we're not open, you can stop by. I'll open the shop for you.
All right, sounds good. I'm
Yeah.
excited. Well, me and the wife will definitely make a trip for sure, as we'll be stopping, but we'll drive right past it. So I'm excited.
Yeah, cool. Hey, maybe next time we could do the pod in the shop.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I'll definitely I can always do a short edit too. Like I'm super stoked to see what you got going on and all the things you're able to create and stuff. And so whenever I see the homies doing stuff, I'm always all about it. Where, so have you lived in Illinois like your entire life, or like tell us your
Yeah.
origin story, I guess you would say.
Yeah, so I've lived here in Edwardsville my whole life. I actually my skate shop is literally it's down the road where my mom grew up. This neighborhood is, I've been hanging around in this neighborhood my whole life. It's just so cool that I can, you know, have a shop and it's here at home. So yeah, I've been skateboarding in Edwardsville my whole life. The skateboarding scene has been It's not been huge or anything, but there's always been some skaters around, you know, enough people to hang with. As far as fingerboarding goes, it's really funny because you think that there's no fingerboarders around you, but I learned real quick once I opened the skate shop that there's tons of fingerboarders everywhere. I mean, people are just popping up left and right. They're like, "Oh yeah, I've been fingerboarding, blah blah blah. I didn't know anyone else fingerboarded." And there people like literally like 2 blocks from my house. You know, now I'm best friends with the dude because I opened the skate shop, or like someone else heard that I made fingerboards. Yeah, it's just crazy how small the world is, man. Like I've met so many people that are just not even skate, you know, they might skateboard, but they're like down for fingerboarding. and they're just so close to me. I would have never known unless we opened the shop.
That was pretty much kind of my experience and stuff as well with the shop. It is, there are so many people that fingerboard, but have no idea that fingerboarding is becoming more mainstream. And then like other people also fingerboard. It's like this like unspoken like cult that we're all part of, basically. Like we are all like a singular version of it, but like it's wild, like once you kind of get out and go to meetups and stuff like that, like how many people actually enjoy this and how many people are actually out there that do this. And like it kind of like this whole fingerboarding journey for me has definitely been an eye-opener.
Yeah, definitely. Skateboarding started when I was 11. I think Tech Deck came out around like 99, 2000. Do you remember exactly?
The history book says 98. I remember them back in 97, but
Yeah.
it's to be argued.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I don't remember everything exactly, but in middle school, I think as soon as I started skateboarding when I was 11, I had fingerboards before I had before Tech Deck came out, or before I was able to get any Tech Decks. And the fingerboards that I had were actually those like clear plastic keychains that there would be like a paper graphic
I
smashed in
remember those,
between.
yeah.
Yeah, so I got some at a skate shop that my brother took me to get my first skateboard set up, and he actually had fingerboards as well, like old school fingerboards. They were the same type of thing, and he would take grip tape and put them on it. But we weren't using these like actually doing tricks or anything. It was more like just to kind of like ride around with or play with like a toy. And once Tech Deck came out and was available, I mean, it was like even when I think about it right now, I can feel how I felt back then. Like I just thought it was the absolute coolest thing. Like metal trucks. And it was just so cool. I had to get a Tech Deck like every time I went to the store, and I still do. I always had a Tech Deck on me, and we would play with them in school, get them taken away by the teachers and everything like that. But it wasn't until one day in my geometry class, I had been skating a few years already and playing with Tech Decks, and some kid said, "Oh, you got a Tech Deck? Let me see that." And he pulls out his geometry book and he starts doing like kickflip 50/50s on the book. And I was like, "Dude, how are you doing this right now?" Because I would always just do like pressure flips. I'd just like do pressure flips to whatever happened. I couldn't control it or anything. And that was the first time that I had actually seen anyone like do legit tricks. All those years with a Tech Deck, and even me playing with them, I would make like stop motion videos. I never knew that there was like Black River and fingerboarding. I never knew that that was a thing until, yeah, around 2016 on Instagram. I probably saw like some YouTuber talk about it, some skate YouTuber or something like that, found it online and just dove right in. And I think I bought a broken knuckle fingerboard for my first wooden fingerboard setup, and then immediately I was like, okay, I can make these, because I was already like making stuff and doing a lot of art. So I just thought, hey, I could make one of these. I'm gonna give it a try. So I like find gator molds, and I'm making some extremely deep concave, huge, 104 millimeter long, extra deep concave, and I was putting my graffiti on them and sharing them with my followers on Instagram. And everyone there was like, "Oh man, you're making fingerboards. I want to buy one. I want to buy one." I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. I mean, I was just figuring it out. Everyone's response kind of led me to like think, well, maybe I could make a good fingerboard. And I just started figuring it out, designing my own molds, figuring out how to do like 3D modeling and everything, and it continued to develop over all the years. Here we're in 2023, so it's been 7 years. Yeah, seven around 7 or 8 years since I've been like poking around with it.
That's wild with the gator molds. I actually started off with the gator molds. And those molds are practically indestructible. The only
Yeah.
problems I have with the gator molds is that the basically drilling your holes was always the issue because the molds never had guided drill holes. And
Right.
so I think a lot of people started off with a gated well, especially for like, you know, and been in the industry for a while. Like that's definitely probably the go-to for the starter mold, I would say.
Yeah, mine actually had, they had like these hollow pins. The guy who was making them, I guess he'd make them out of resin, right? They were like solid resin. He had made I guess he figured out a way to put the pins in it. Well, my pins were offset. So the like one set of truck holes was actually crooked. When you compare it to the next, it was like offset like a millimeter to the right or something like that, or maybe a millimeter or two. So it wasn't great, but I mean, it worked at the time. I didn't sell any mold, or I didn't sell any boards from the gator mold. So
I just used it just to kind of get my feet wet with it a long
yeah,
time
this.
ago and just kind of get into like, you know, just kind of figure your own way, I guess you would say. But yeah, everything was fine until I had to pretty much figure out how to do the drill holes. And then you're like free just handing in your drill holes, which is doo-doo. So Tech Decks came out at probably the perfect time because like Tony Hawk Pro Skater came out and we've been playing that for probably like a year, maybe two. I don't remember the timeline exactly, but like skateboarding was huge back then. It was almost at the peak, I would say, as like the most like influential time, I would say. But Tech Decks came out and they had all the replica graphics of all of the pro skaters, all of the like same graphics in the game and like
They had the
the whole
birdhouse.
the bird holes and the World Industries and just all of the OG brands and stuff with all the graphics. And at the time, like, I mean, it was exciting to get your hands on a tech deck and be able to at least skate around or at least pretend that you're skating around just like, you know, all the pros and stuff were. And so it was just a great time to kind of just be alive. And I think tech deck came out at the perfect time to.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. And you're right. That was a time. One of the most influential times ever. And it's amazing to see because, there's tons of new skateboard brands. There's always new ones popping up every day. But a few of the brands that I think of from that time when Tech Deck came out are Birdhouse, Toy Machine, World Industries, Shorty's. Most of those brands have kind of like fallen off, except for Toy Machine. They're still around, they're strong. Shorty's not this, it's not the same as it was, but they're still making boards. World Industries isn't the same as it was, but they're still making boards. And obviously Birdhouse, Tony Hawk's still here. I wish they would re-release all those old graphics because every time I see those graphics, like the cartoon monster and the cartoon girl and all those graphics from back then. I mean, that's just like nostalgia to the max, dude. Like, I can't get enough of it. I think one of my first tech decks was a Birdhouse tech deck. Wait, either that or a Toy Machine. I can't remember, but it was one of the two.
I can't remember mine, but I was really infatuated with City Stars and of course the whole hookup brand as
Oh
well.
yeah.
I mean, for me and like where I went to school and stuff, like kids would kind of like fight each other for these hookup boards. Like, I mean, like, I get it. You know, we're like, you know, 12-year-old boys and I get it. But people went crazy for these things, like, absolutely crazy for them. Like, if you went to Walmart to try to like find anything or any place where tech decks were, like, you couldn't find one of them. Like, they were just highly sought after. It was like currency, I guess you say, but it was wild.
It's pretty crazy. I didn't even think about it. Now, I don't think that like all the hookups graphics were released. You're thinking about tech decks and hookup graphics. Like, I didn't ever think about like how risky that is, kind of,
It is super risky, but it was also a different era back then. Like the
for
90s
sure.
was like the attitude era, like skateboarding, like, you know, you could get away with that. Wrestling, don't even get me started on that. NFL celebrations. I mean, like everything in the 90s, I feel like was just like to the max.
Yeah, that's true.
And so if you guys weren't around in the 90s, you guys definitely missed out. So when did fingerboarding kind of start into the mix? Like, we know you've been skateboarding for a while, and I know fingerboarding. When did you actually get like serious into fingerboarding?
Well, it was kind of right away when I started making fingerboards. That was like my serious that I don't know, but my time actually fingerboarding and not making them was like extremely short. I'm talking like probably 6 weeks or something before I started. From the time that I bought a broken knuckle set up on Amazon, maybe, or maybe I don't even know if it was Amazon, maybe eBay, I'm not sure. To me starting to press my boards and like make my molds, it was probably only 6 weeks. I would say 2016. So my main inspirations and my main like the main brands that I saw and was inspired by and wanted their products were like Simple Dex, Beast Pants. You know, of course I saw the Broken Knuckle stuff, Broken Knuckle slash P Rep. There was a bunch more brands, but I think a lot of them aren't around anymore. But you know, it was kind of like Beast Pants and Simple were my main the main two brands that I saw right away. And they were both doing split bottom plies. And I just thought it was like I didn't understand it at first. I was like, you're actually cutting the bottom ply. You know, at first I thought they were like masking it and dyeing it like you would like a like painting kind of. And then whenever I asked the dude making Simple, he's like, no, I'm cutting these, you know, I'm cutting these bottom plies and gluing them together. So I never bought any of their decks. Simple is, I don't know where he was located, but I think he was in like Spain or something. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
And then I didn't get a Beast Pants until much later. I don't know what my mentality was. I wasn't ready to spend a bunch of money on it, so I was getting like this was before 32 millimeter Tech Decks came out, so I wasn't gonna buy Black River trucks. I don't even know if Dynamic was a thing yet, or if he was, he was like developing his first trucks and everything. I was part of the group that was getting TDLBT Tech Deck longboard trucks,
That's
and so we'd order Tech Deck longboards on eBay, and they had the 32 millimeter trucks, and that was like how you could have trucks for a wider board because 32 and 33 millimeter was the standard, and 34 millimeter was like just becoming more popular. So everyone was like trying to figure out, okay, how can we get 34 millimeter trucks? You know, so I remember I had the combo. I had the washers from Level Up Bushings, and I would have the Tech Deck longboard trucks with a washer on each axle. And then I had bought some Joycolts, and they had like the offset bearing. So when you had the Joycolts, the spacer, and the 32 millimeter trucks, you could get it to like almost 34 millimeters.
I've seen a few different setups where people were trying to extend those wheels out as far as possible to get it to cover that extra 2 or 3 millimeters on the tech. And so that's interesting you mentioned that.
Yeah, so 2016 introduced through Instagram. Basically, everything has been Instagram since then. As I was being inspired by these brands, I was trying to like create and be like them, you know, experimenting with how do I make fingerboards? Okay, now I figured out how to make them. Okay, how do I make my own custom molds? Because I remember someone like asking me, he's like, what mold do you use? And I said, oh, I'm using this mold. I forgot the name of the I forgot the name of the brand that I had like my first pro mold through. It was like FB Co. Gosh, I can't remember, but he made like a it was not a Bondo mold, but it was kind of similar. It was like white. He had a little drill template and it kind of acted as like a shaper template as well. So someone asked me, they're like, what mold do you use? And I told them, and they're like, that's a good mold, but you need to make your own. You need to make your own custom shape. So I'm like, well, what? Like, I didn't understand. Why do I need to make my own custom mold shape? Why can't I just use this mold and, you know, do my cut shape and whatever? And I, you know, as time went on, I started to see like, okay, everyone has their own custom mold shape. And I think Jim from NFB, he was like, I don't know how long he had been around, but he was making custom metal molds for everybody. Everyone who wanted to start a deck company, they would go to Jim if they were serious about it. And he would make the custom mold shape, custom shaping templates, and everything. So I was too stubborn. I wasn't going to spend the money on an NFB mold. So I decided that I'm just going to learn manufacturing processes and 3D modeling and 3D printing. And I started doing all that stuff. And I started, designing my own molds, working with other makers. They would design their own molds. And there was a guy, he actually, his name was Philip, and he actually helped me learn how to like design a mold. I had him design one for me. And what I did was I was 3D printing it from this resin printer that I had access to. And then I started learning how to do like I learned 3D modeling and CNC machining, and there's a small maker space that I joined specifically to learn and use the equipment. And I milled my own. I was so stubborn that I couldn't just spend $300 on the NFB mold, so I decided to spend way more money learning how to do all this stuff myself. And then I milled my own aluminum molds at this maker space. And that's how I was like, first I would 3D print, I would test the mold, then I'd redesign it, 3D print it again, on and on and on until I finally like, I probably went through 10 plus mold designs before I got to my original mid pro and low pro shapes. And then I milled them from solid aluminum blocks at this maker space. The entire time I was developing my processes, one of the biggest and hardest things was getting the holes drilled properly, making the pins in the mold so they'd make the perfect amount of depression. Then you could, accurately drill the holes and have it repeatable over and over and over again, figuring out the router shaping templates and everything like that. The glue ups, the sanding, different sanding processes and clear coats and everything like that. Back then, whenever I was doing all of that stuff, I never had any printed graphics. All I did was laser engraved graphics, because at the maker space that I was using to create my tooling, they had a laser engraver, and I didn't want to take the time to figure out. I researched graphics for a million years. I mean, like, endlessly, I researched, okay, how can I get real wear graphics? I just couldn't figure it out. I couldn't get something that was affordable and would do the job. I would just use the laser engraver, and I also started laser engraving foam tape, actually a bit before I was, yeah, so I was engraving the foam tape and the fingerboard graphics basically at the same time. And that was kind of like my main introduction when people started noticing me, was the foam tape, because I would engrave pot leaves. That was like the most noticeable one. I would engrave pot leaves all over the foam tape, and I called it Chem's OG Kush tape. Everyone loved it. People still ask me for it to this day. Like, I made engraved tape for years, but I stopped doing it just because I don't have enough time to sit at the lab and engrave tape for hours on end. All of my time is tied up in like deck production and, finishing orders and running the skate shop and everything.
Absolutely amazing hearing the story of just kind of how you became where you're at and kind of now. So like your stubbornness kind of gave you an insight on perfecting the process. And so like some people are like, oh, you could just spend $300, saved you a bunch of time, but like you went a different route and learned everything down to its fundamentals, like down to a science almost. And so it definitely helped you become where you're at right now. And the
Yeah,
first
definitely.
time I was put on to Chems was through the actual OG Kush foam tape. Like
Oh, cool.
you put something out on the interwebs and it was just being reshared like crazy. And that's when I first like heard of your brand. I was like, this tape's pretty cool. And I kind of dove into it and realized you got all kinds of other stuff going on. And that's the first ex interaction I had with Chems was through the tape.
That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Later on, once I, after I had like settled in on my mold shapes and everything, I actually caved, and I went to Jim and I said, "Hey Jim, can you remake my two mold shapes and produce a large amount of the mid pro and low pro mold shapes?" And I actually had Jim from NFB make my molds finally, you know. And I have like, I think maybe 10 or more molds from gym now.
That's impressive. That's
Yeah.
a serious investment.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it is definitely quite an investment, but it's something that you can't, I mean, it's well worth its cost, you know.
No, definitely.
Yeah.
It's something that I would like to kind of work up to myself as I've started the whole deck making process as well. I'm a perfectionist, I guess you would say. And so I've been pretty much just kind of holding off on launching anything directly until like I feel like it is pretty close to being top tier.
Yeah. It takes a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of patience.
You only have one shot at first impressions, and so everything is first impressions are everything. So tell us the chems, like tell us the history and how chems became chems. Where did the name come from?
Okay, so I had started a skateboard brand probably, let's see. It was probably 10 or 11 years ago, I think I started the skateboard brand. What I was doing was I had the idea to start like an art-based skateboard brand. I had just become obsessed with painting graffiti, and I've always been an artist and stuff, but I became obsessed with painting graffiti, and then I started teaching myself graphic design. So I had gone and got a program, Corel Draw, from like Office Max or something. I learned how to use it. I figured out how to do, like, I was basically taking my graffiti drawings and turning them into vector art with the idea that I was going to put the art on skateboards or just do whatever, you know. I just wanted to, I was basically not really planning anything, but I was kind of like teaching myself how to do the artwork and trying to figure out like about screen printing and stuff because I didn't know anything about those processes before then. I was painting graffiti and I had been painting under the name Kems for some time. You know, I had an Instagram page. I was painting graffiti a lot. I started a skateboard brand and I created the skateboard brand. It was like all artist based. I was doing the artwork myself and I was collaborating with an artist that I still collaborate with to this day, Jetpacks and Roller Skates. His name is Blake Stevenson and he's out of Canada. And then there was another dude named Phobia. And I basically wanted to like make a skateboard brand that was putting art on skateboards and showcasing that artwork and then selling like limited runs of each graphic. I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know anything about business. I learned quickly that I didn't want to be a businessman. You know, all I wanted to do was do art and skateboard. So a year went by and I just folded the skateboard brand. It was too hard to run. I didn't understand all the taxes and everything. It was just too much. And I made absolutely zero. I lost money on it. So I decided after that I was just going to focus on art and skateboard for fun. Some years went by. I grew my graffiti Instagram page. One day I made a fingerboard and I put my graffiti name on it, which was Kems. And then that's how it developed into this. And the name Kems actually comes from I really like coffee. And at the time I had a friend named Argus who was a head roaster at a coffee company in Edwardsville, and he skated as well. And I met him through a whole series of events. It was wild. We would like hang out at the coffee roasters, like in the building, and we would play games of skate inside the building where we roast the coffee and stuff like that. And I'd do some graphic design work with the coffee company and such. But he was real big into like teaching about coffee. And I learned a whole different world that I never knew about, the coffee world. And there's a device that you use to brew your coffee called the Chemex. And the Chemex, it's like chemistry for coffee. You weigh out your coffee, you weigh out your water, you have certain temperature. And all it is like it's like a funnel and then a bulb, and it's called the Chemex. And I used the inspiration of that name for my name, Chems. Yeah, so coffee chemistry, that's where it comes from.
I always enjoy listening to like the origin stories of how people come up with their branding and their names.
Yeah, it's a really weird name, and obviously like it just kind of like I think about it sometimes, you know, there's a lot of weird brand names out there. This one, you know, it just kind of like it already was a my graffiti name, and it just carried on over to whatever else I was doing, and now it's kind of a name in fingerboarding. As weird as it might be, it sounds normal now.
No, I love it. The history and the fan base behind your brand, it's unreal. You make your own, you don't like personally make your own skateboards, but like you have like your own branded skateboards. So I've seen them on Instagram, and then you got your own skate shop, and so I'm putting like, you know, five and five together at this point. And
Yeah,
so
just a second. Let me grab one.
yeah, he is grabbing a skateboard off the wall. If you are on the audio side, you definitely got to switch over to the video side.
Yeah, so here's a Thames skateboard. Can you see it all right?
Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely
so
gorgeous.
these skateboards are they're made in the same factory that like Baker skateboards and Zero and a whole and like Real, Death Wish, Crooked. They're made in the same factory as all of those professional brands. So, I definitely like take that quality into consideration, making a good product just the same as I, you know, make a good fingerboard product. We want to make good skateboard product too. So, you know, I had, like I said before, I had started that skateboard brand, and you know, skateboarding is my number one, and it always has been. I love fingerboarding, and it's like one and the same kind of for me. But whenever I started making fingerboards, I quickly learned that okay, this is a hobby that it can support itself, and it can like, you know, I can continue to grow. I can make a little bit of cash with it, reinvest it into my tooling, and you know, do this without spending all of my pocket money on it. But the skateboard industry, it's quite different. It's very large, it's oversaturated. There's huge brands. You have to be like a certain you have to I feel like it's a lot harder to like create your own name in skateboarding just because of how long it's already been established and stuff like that. So
I think it boils
basically,
down to culture. Like
yeah.
skateboarding brands, especially the OG ones, they've had decades to build this culture around their name and their brand. And so for people coming into the industry, the skateboarding industry, like you can't develop culture overnight. It takes time, it takes years, sometimes even a decade. And so I'm noticing it's like, you know, you got all these new brands coming out, but they lack culture. Like, yeah, they got a couple key writers and stuff like that, but they're not developing an actual like culture behind their brand. And that is so hard to do.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, at Chems, I have so many things that I'm focused on, and I do have a small crew and a small skate scene, but we don't really have the means to like go out and film every day and put videos out and do all this stuff like a skateboard brand needs to. So I make Chems skateboards because it's something that I love, and it's kind of, you know, since I was successful in the fingerboard world, I was able to take some of that and reinvest it into making skateboards again. It was maybe like a couple years of making fingerboards, and I was able to make the skateboards again. And ever since then, I've had quite a lot of support from the local community. I don't really sell many skateboards online, for whatever reason. Maybe some people like to buy a matching fingerboard and skateboard, but mostly it's like the local community, the young dudes that I skate with. And people who want to support now the skate shop, they also want to support Chems as the local brand and stuff like that. So it's been really cool, and hopefully now that like with the skate shop here and being a little bit more legitimate in the skateboard world, maybe Chems can continue to grow on that side as well.
Well, that's the thing that I like, and I would probably say a huge portion of your fan base loves, is the fact that you're doing your thing in the skateboarding industry, whether, you know, you perceive yourself as being successful or not is a whole different story. But for us in the fingerboarding world, like the fact that we know someone personally that's killing it in our eyes in the skateboarding industry, and they're also transferring that success into the fingerboarding industry, like you're one of the few companies that does both skateboarding and fingerboarding. Like I want to say, maybe off the top of my head, there's like maybe five companies total that are even doing that. And so like when you look at it, you know, you're talking like you guys, I think Roswell does that, Black River obviously does that, and there might be one or two that I'm missing, and like that's it. And Catfish. So you guys, yeah, Catfish is doing it. I forgot about him. And so, I mean, you're kind of like paving a different route that nobody else is really doing. And so it's absolutely kind of crazy when you kind of look back and, you know, step back and kind of look at it as a whole.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm really excited to be able to do both. Obviously, both are like, you know, everything I live for is skateboarding and fingerboarding at this point.
No, huge kudos, huge props. Like I'm like most of your fan base, myself included, like you're doing this, you're blazing your own path, and we're here for it. If someone was interested in getting a Kim's skateboard deck, like what sizing and stuff like that do you have? Because I know a lot of people who fingerboard, skateboard, and vice versa.
Almost all the sizes. I've got different shapes and sizes. So mostly I have popsicles, and I think that's all I have on the site right now. But I have everything from 7.75 all the way up to 9 inch. So in quarter inch increments. So 7.75, 8, 8.25, 8.38, 8.5, 8.75, and 9. And then I have some what I call the Tech Cruiser. And it's like a cruiser shape. You can also skate it like you would a popsicle, kind of, if you're like skating wide boards. Or you can set it up as a cruiser. And I just restocked those in the skate shop, but I haven't put them online yet. So basically I have every size available, and I have, I think, six or seven graphics to choose from. And a lot of them have different, like a few of them have different background color plies. So I have it listed on the site to where you can pick your background color. Oh. Or the graphic that shows it. So I think I have four graphics available where you can pick the background color and the size and everything.
So yeah. If you guys are local to the Edwardsville, Illinois area or the St. Louis area, you definitely need to make a stop at your shop for sure. And then if you're not local to that area, what's the website that they can purchase that stuff from?
Chemsfb.com, chemsfb.com. And also skate618.com. And both are the same website.
Gotcha. I love it. If you guys have actually made it this far, finger the like button. Like, definitely like, follow, and subscribe for sure. This is got weekly content every single week. We got all kinds of cool people like my man Kim's here. And man, I'm excited to get back into it. So let's switch over to the fingerboarding side. So kind of describe the decks, shapes, and sizes that you've got.
Well, I have my two mold shapes are my low pro and mid pro shapes. And what that stands for is low profile and mid profile, or like medium profile. So here I have a mid pro. I don't know if this is in focus. It's kind of hard to see.
No, it's in focus. I like it.
So there's a mid pro shape. This is a 37 millimeter eggy shape here. And I have basically, I have three different shapes. There's the popsicle, the eggy, and the Tech Cruiser. The Tech Cruiser is available in 35 millimeter, but it's designed to fit 34 millimeter trucks. The Eggy is available in 35, 36, and 37 millimeter. And the 35 millimeter fits 34 millimeter trucks. And the 36 and 37 fit 36 millimeter trucks. And then for the popsicles, I have everything from 29 millimeter all the way to 37 millimeter.
That's crazy. That's a huge amount of SKUs. I love it.
Yeah, so I only make the 32, or sorry, I only make the 33 millimeter, 34 millimeter, and 35 millimeter popsicles in my low pro mold shape, because I've found that over the years, the mid pro mold that I designed is suitable for nearly everyone. It's not too high, it's not too low, it doesn't have too much concave, 98% of people, I feel, pick the mid pro mold shape. So I cut down the shapes that I'm making, that I offer in my low pro, just because I already have so many shapes and sizes and everything. So I'm trying to cut back a little bit on what people haven't been ordering as much. I will get the people will order the low pro mold. Most of the time, it's low pro 34 or 33 popsicle, and that's kind of it. So I cut everything else out. So still tons of sizes, shapes, and options available there. And I all of my decks are made to order, so you can basically, as long as I have like enough of my graphic transfers in stock for each graphic, when I put them on the website, you can go there and you can choose your shape, choose your size and your mold shape and your cut shape for each graphic. Some graphics are like all graphics are limited, so usually once the colorway or the graphic sells out, then I don't remake it or I don't reprint the transfer. Some of them are like crowd favorites that I have reprinted a couple of times, and then others are like mashups, so there's a lot less available, and depending on the availability of my graphics that I have, that corresponds with the availability of the quantity, shapes, and sizes that are able to be chosen per that graphic on the website. So right now I don't have any made to order fingerboards on the website because I took them all down on December 1st. This is so that I finish all of my current orders and try to get everything shipped and delivered by Christmas. But normally there's like anywhere between 40 and 80 different graphics or colorways to choose from. And then you can usually choose all those shapes and sizes.
No, I love like you can basically build your own deck at this point. It's kind of different for some companies to be able to do that because it's hard to kind of keep up, but it looks like you don't have really like that issue because a lot of people they'll build them and then they'll just sell them as they bring, like they'll make a huge stock, then they'll sell that stock. But like for you, it sounds like we're basically like picking and choosing all the aspects of the deck and you're making them to order, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I've tried it both. I've done it both ways. But now, like, I don't know. I get so many people that want a specific color. Like, a lot of people want all pink, or a lot of people, everyone wants their own customization, I feel like. I tried to give as much customization for the things that matter most. Now, I can't do everything, or else I'd just be booked out forever. I mean, I used to do fully custom orders, but it's just at this point I have too many customers to tend to that I can't offer. So,
No, I understand as a
yeah.
one-man show, that's pretty difficult. But I've definitely noticed in my groups, my Facebook groups and stuff like that, like people are really into the customizable aspects. And I see people all day long looking for wheels or specific trucks, but like they're looking for it in like this color only. Like they're like, oh, I want some dynamics. I'm like, oh, everybody's like, oh, I got dynamics. And they're like, no. I need these dynamics. And then everybody's like, oh, okay. And then like I see it all the time where people are literally building like these. I almost feel like the setup is better than actually skating it. It's like, I don't know if they're collecting it or that's just what they're looking for, but like it's almost like cars. Like everybody's got these crazy builds and stuff when it comes to the car industry, but like I'm noticing it's kind of transferring over into the fingerboarding industry as well, where people are literally setting their stuff up like it's a custom build.
Yeah, true. I mean, part of the reason why I kind of fell in love with fingerboarding was because it kind of for that same reason. It's almost like, it's not just art as in it's a graphic, but it's the whole thing is like a piece of art. It's literally a replica of a skateboard, what we love, And to be able to hold that in your hand or in your pocket, it's almost just as fun as actually, fingerboarding with it. And I think that's like why I was attracted to it so much in the beginning, and why I wanted to make my own is because I love, just being able to, build that perfect setup, how you want it, and to be able to hold it and maybe even show it to your friend, you know what I mean? Like, I think that there's a lot of that in fingerboarding. It's like a novelty thing, and it's something that it's like a little piece of artwork that we carry with us that makes us happy and makes us remember to have fun, whether we're using it to fingerboard at the moment or not.
No, definitely. Let's talk about some of these collabs. I know you've done some stuff in the past, and let's talk about that.
All right, so I have done some different collaborations in the past. So Gu and I have known each other through the internet for, gosh, I don't even know how many years now.
Yes, go
It's
back.
been at least, I would say, 4 years maybe we've known each other, maybe even longer, because I was actually making I knew him before I ever started making like the old 3D printed decks that I was making. I actually did a collaboration with him where I made some of his shapes with my 3D printed decks, and yeah, that might have been like 2019 or something like that. So basically, how I met Gu was one day I got an order, and I think maybe he was ordering tape from me, because I think he was experimenting with like making decks himself. He was in that phase of, figuring things out and trying to make decks and everything. I was seeing these orders come through from this guy, and I noticed that he was like a returning customer. And then one day, I didn't know it was him, but he hit me up on Instagram. He's like, "Hey, love your stuff. Would you ever want to collaborate someday? Like, this is my stuff. This is what I do." And he showed me his page. And at the time, he was figuring out how to use like recycled skateboards. He was like the first person that I had seen to do it. It was kind of what he was known for. So he was taking like skated skateboards and he was shaving them down, and he would have like this side profile where you could see the different plies, and he would do like a little cut split bottom ply where the skateboard plies were like a veneer, and he would lay those into the mold when he would press it. So I thought that was really cool that he was incorporating recycled skateboards into his fingerboards. At first, I was like, yeah, I don't normally collab with people because it's too hectic, but let's give it a shot. So I worked with him. We did some collaborations in the beginning. We had made some stickers, I think, and we made some like collaborative sticker sheets, and I kind of helped get his name out there. During that time, he was still new into making fingerboards, and I was kind of like critiquing his work. He would say, "Hey man, tell me what I could do better." So what I did was I would give him constructive criticism, and I think maybe I was like a little harsh on some of his stuff just because I wanted to see him do well. And then like a year went by and he's like the most amazing deck maker. Like, I don't know if how many of you are familiar with Gu LTD, but his work, I mean, he's my favorite deck maker. I remember him telling me, I was like, "So what do you want to do with your brand? Like, how do you want to be different?" And he said, I want to just make all shaped fingerboards. I don't want to do any popsicles. I'm just going to make shaped fingerboards." And I said, "Dude, that's not going to work." I was like, "That is not going to work." And if you look at him now, like he's has like 20, 30 different shapes, in all different sizes, and that's what he's known for. I actually have a whole bunch of his fingerboards here in the case right next to me here in my skate shop. But yeah, he's definitely the best dude. Him and I are almost like we're friends, we're work partners. We consult with each other with almost anything and everything we do, even if the other isn't like using the same resource or doing, if I have an idea or a project that I'm working on, even if it's outside of fingerboarding, I hit him up and I'm like, "Yo, dude, what do you think about this? and I'll send him pictures. And so he's kind of like my go-to guy. We're kind of like, yeah, work partners. And then we collaborate all the time. You know, it's just easier to collaborate with someone that I share such a close, you know, we relate so closely. We're close in age. We've skateboarded our whole lives. We started making fingerboards later in life, and we have a lot of the same interests, a lot of the same art interests and stuff like that. And I've kind of exclusively kept my collaborations with Goo, and I think it'll stay that way. Like, I am collaborating with other brands here and there, and I do enjoy to do that. But as far as like actually like making something substantial, it's always going to be with goo, pretty much.
Well, you guys also have like kind of the same brand identity. Like, you guys have that more gnarly, more skate culture like ingrained in you guys' brands. And so, what I would think of like Goo to me would literally be like the perfect collaborator for a brand like yours. And so, I
Yeah.
feel like you can't just collab with anybody. Like, you know, they've got like, you got to be able to have the same types of companies basically collabing together. And so, like, for me, it makes a lot of sense. My first interaction with a Goo deck was with one of his team writers when I had my shop. His name's I want to say William Harris. I think he goes by Instagram handle like Hate Breezy. Like, he rides with Goo, and he's brought a couple of boards and stuff into the shop and stuff. And like, all of his boards are a little on the shorter side maybe, but, and they're all different, like just shapes. Like, they have like all the ridges and stuff on the edges and stuff. They're very interesting for sure and very unique. And that was my main takeaway with his is like, when you get a Goo deck, you're not going to get anything close to that from anybody else. Like, he has something that literally sets himself aside from the rest of the industry. And I always found him to be very a unique, very niche like brand. And I love it. I'm here for it because you can get a popsicle anywhere, but you can't get a goo type deck anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. The thing is with him, he's done a lot of things to set himself apart. And what's crazy is, you know, whenever something good happens, you always see people being inspired or being inspired by it or copying it, you know. And that's something that has happened with Goo. Like, he did the recycled skateboard stuff and then everybody else jumped on. You know, he did the shapes and everybody else jumping on trying to do it. But even then, even so, like, game is so strong, like, it doesn't matter who else is doing it, he's still there, he's still present, you know, and his work is good. So I mean, my fingerboard collection is stacked with Goo decks, you know. It's like a little ridiculous at this point.
That's where I'm at, kind of with my. I have something that is not done. As I lied, there's one company that's doing what I'm doing. My problem is, it's like as soon as I launch it, then I know like everybody else is going to do it as well. And so, like, the main reason why, like, I've been, if anybody's been a fan of the show, like, I've been literally talking about making decks now. It feels like for ages. Like, when are you going to drop this? Like, first launch of decks, and I'm like, I have to like strategically like flood the market with it. So like, it was apparent that like I did it first, because if I do a little here, a little there, other people come in and people will be like, I don't really know who did it first. And like when I do this, like I want to make sure like people know like Levine did that first, and then everybody else kind of followed suit.
Yeah, for sure.
And so like Goo's kind of got like the right idea where like, you know, he didn't really like start it, but he's definitely known for it. And he like, then that is a very hard thing to do in any industry, is to be known for basically being the trendsetter.
But yeah, so to continue on the collaborations and speaking of shaped boards, over the past couple of years, I think maybe it's 2 years now, Goo and I have released the Devil Egg. And the Devil Egg is pressed in my mid pro mold. It's basically a shape that is, it's combined between my eggy shape and one of his shape with ridges. And so him and I designed this cut shape together. And then we have graphics that we release. Sometimes we'll release our regular graphics on them, but we release a graphic where it's like a half of a face here and half of a face here. And he makes one and I make the other. And one says goo and one says chems. So, in order to have the full set, you have to get one from him and one from me. And so we release the devil egg kind of here and there. We prepare it when we can, and then we'll release it for like Friday the 13th or Halloween or whatever. Usually we do it around holiday seasons and stuff like that. Sometimes we just do it randomly. So there will be more devil eggs coming out. And I know you recently had Jack on.
Jack Perry, yeah.
Yeah, so Jack made a video where Gary Graves gave Jack one of the devil eggs, and I still get comments all the time. Hey, where can I get this deck? Where can I get this deck? And I'm like, that's like our most rare deck, you know? So it's funny that everyone wants it because we only release it, you know, in limited batches here and there.
That's how
So
you
there.
build onto the hype, though. Like, create a bunch of hype for it, and then
Yeah.
like, just like, here's like a small amount where like it doesn't cater to everybody. And I love the whole hype like mentality behind it.
Yeah, I mean it's more just kind of like we don't always have the time for all the collaborations, so that's kind of where like the limited runs come from, but there will be more devil eggs available, and that's only available in one size, one shape. It's 36 millimeters at its widest point, but it's 34 millimeters over the axles, and it skates just like a 34 millimeter popsicle. So it's a really great introduction to those shaped boards. And if you guys want a shaped board, but you can't find the devil egg, just go see Goo, and he can make anything. If you look at his shape guide, there's just like 20 different shapes to pull from, all different sizes. So he's the one that makes them, and he's where to get it if you can't find our collaborative deck.
Definitely. His shape guide deck is overwhelming, especially if you're a first timer. Very overwhelming.
Yeah, it is.
It's almost like you have to have a friend that's already got one, and then you're like, well,
Yeah.
I'll start with this one and work your way around the guide.
Yeah, true.
Oh man. All right, so you've got some team riders.
Yes, we have a very large team. It's not always been like this, but as of recent, I've been adding people to the list, and I don't think it's going to get any larger at this point. So if anyone is trying to get on the team, please know that we're currently not adding anyone. So yeah, so right now I have 11 people on the team,
Now, is this for the
and
fingerboarding side, or do you have a skate side as well?
well, I don't necessarily have like an official skateboarding team, but I do have all of the employees that work at the skate shop with me. They're kind of like my crew, and a couple of the other young homies that skate with us and stuff. So they're kind of like the Kems Skate 618 crew, and
Okay.
I always give them discounts and help support them in skateboarding and stuff like that, just as they support me.
Man, you
But
got your hands full.
yeah, dude, it's really hard. I actually w one of the team members, I actually tried to get him to be the team manager for the fingerboard side, and he has helped me out with a lot of stuff, making like documents so that we can keep track of sponsor packs and all this stuff. But ultimately, I fall short because I'm so overwhelmed with my multiple jobs and work and family and everything. So managing a team, what's great about it is like everyone that's on the team are just wonderful people. They're just super talented. They're nice. They're super sweet. They're supporters. They've always been like supporters of Chems throughout, and they continue to support What's great about it is that even though I fall short of like maybe sending them as many sponsor packs as I would like to throughout the year, they understand and they work with me. If I ever need anything from any of them, they'll help out, whether it's like content or whatever. And we kind of just all do our own thing, you know. They do their own thing. They represent Chems in ways that I just the coolest ways. Like, I don't ask them to do anything, they just do it, you know. And I couldn't be more thankful for their support. But yeah, I'm looking at the list right now, and it's just, yeah, 11 people on a team. It's just crazy. I mean,
That is pretty wild.
sometimes I can't keep track. I'm just like, wait, who? I always have to like look back at the list to make sure that I'm not forgetting anybody, you know. So I'm just gonna read off the list here. So we've got flamingo.fb. So his name is Brian. I'm sure that everyone has seen Flamingo and seen his awesome videos. He's an extremely creative guy. If you haven't seen him, definitely go check him out. So these are all the Instagram names, all right? So flamingo.fb, then there's booradley.fb. Flamingo and Boo are like best of friends. They live by each other. They fingerboard every Sunday together and make videos. Then their other best friend is kawaii.fb. So those three are like a group of friends. Before they were on Chems, I invited them all to be on Chems because they were already like a crew, you know, and they're just like, you can tell like they're the best of friends and they're all super creative. Kawaii just had a baby and he was the guy who I asked to be the team manager, so he's got his hands full as well. And then there is Finger Boredom. You guys have probably seen Finger Boredom and recognized him from his like really cool fingerboard park setup. It's like basically all granite tops. He has another account. It's called Mall FB, and a lot of his obstacles are made by Loft. And I had met Loft at the rendezvous this past April. Anyway, Finger Boredom, his videos, again, he's like just like all the other guys, he's an amazing content creator. The work that he puts into his edits, like not only the tricks are amazing, but the video and photography that he does are just outstanding, and it sets him apart from, you know, so many other fingerboarders. So then we have Stoned Border. You know, he's kind of like TikTok famous. You're familiar with Stone Border?
I've seen his TikToks, and then I've actually
Yeah.
met Booradley and Flamingo at the Minneapolis stop on the tour, and they're all up there.
Yeah, we met you at
And
Rendezvous in
Rendezvous
a
as well, yeah.
April. Yeah, so I met you there. Yeah, br very briefly. And then one of our newer team members is Picnic Flip, and he is a local skateboard photographer and videographer. Super cool dude. His name is Chris, and he's kind of like known in our area for being one of the more serious skateboard photographers. And I had met him because I was looking for someone to do. I had created a tool specifically for modifying skateboards, and I wanted to have some product shots of it because I was trying to showcase the new version to the world. And I contacted this dude and I was like, hey dude, can you come out and take some photograph this new product that I've made? So he did, and I gifted him a 36 millimeter Aggie complete with 36 millimeter dynamics and dynamic urethane wheels. And he had fingerboarded, but he hadn't like fingerboarded with a pro setup. So ever since I gifted him that, he was just like made a fingerboard page and started repping really hard, got really good. And he's like another extremely creative dude. I mean, the way that all of these guys make content, and it's almost like every single one is either a videographer or a photographer, like professionally or something. So anyway, Chris, aka Picnic Flip on Instagram, nicest dude, amazing skateboarder. He's local to me, and he actually went to rendezvous with us in April. So that was my first rendezvous. It was basically my first legit fingerboard event. And it was his as well. So it's super cool to have someone local who's like such a shredder in skateboarding and fingerboarding, and him representing the brand. He's also an artist, and we're gonna get some graphics on decks, some artwork that he's done. So then, a lot of you guys know Dope Decks. Dope Decks, he's on the team, and he's on a few other teams. He's kind of been laying low a little bit lately, but he was known, I don't know, a year or two ago, pretty much for like making edits and content on the daily. Then we have Eric Ben Fingerflip, which is our Brazilian team member. Eric Ben is like the Rodney Mullen slash Day One Song of fingerboarding. I mean, the dude is just absolutely nutso. Nobody can touch him. I mean, if you haven't seen Eric Ben Fingerflip, go watch his clips. I'm sure that you've seen him. Then we've got Juice underscore FB. He is a dude that has been supporting Chems for a long time, and he's got like a super sick style. I just love seeing his flat ground clips. It's always like a treat to see his clips. He doesn't post a ton, but whenever he does, it's just like one of the most stylish. His styles, it's just, you know how like there's the fingerboarders that do like the crazy insane tricks, and then there's fingerboarders that have like this skate style and that you just enjoy to watch. It doesn't matter if they just do like a front shove or whatever. You love to see their clips. That's how he is.
Super authentic.
And I don't know. I just can't describe it. It's not like he's putting like high-end video or anything. It's just like raw clips, and they're just some of my favorites to watch. Then we've got FB.alpha. This dude is like the Shane O'Neill of fingerboarding. The cleanest clips. You're talking like,
Super buttery.
dude, switch front heel 5-0. I mean, I've never seen anyone else fingerboard like this dude. Like the cleanest, like sparkly clean. FB.alva. He is, yeah, absolutely insane to watch. Then, of course, we have the amazing Gary Graves 22, who is your new co-host, who we don't have here today. I know Gary is really busy. He's a very busy dude. Gary is like, he's got the biggest heart, man. Gary is the nicest dude. He came down for the day that we opened the skate shop, and he was also at Rendezvous as well. So the first time that I met Gary was at Rendezvous, and right away it was already like we were homies, you know. All of us were. I mean, that's how it is, right? We already act like we know each other whenever we go to events and stuff like that. But Gary Graves, he's been supporting Chems for a long time, and I put him on the team, somewhat recently. And it might be over a year now. I can't even remember. Time goes so quick. But yeah, Gary is just like the nicest dude. He's again extremely creative. He's like a fingerboarding powerhouse. I mean, nobody else skates like him. He skateboards, he fingerboards, he has fun, he does stunts. He's like the BAM of fingerboarding or something, you know, like in the good way.
No, I agree. That's why I kind of had him as our new co-host, and he's actually kind of working with me on some projects and stuff like that. Gary is like the all-in-one person. He does it all. Like he films it, he skates it, fingerboards it, skates it in real life. I mean, he does everything. Like this guy is he's truly like a work of art. Like he's probably one of the most amazing people I know.
Yeah, he is definitely, and he works hard. You know, he's got his the you know his day job and everything, and he works really hard. He doesn't complain about it much. Like, he's just one of those dudes that I feel like all of these dudes are like this. Whenever you're around them, you can't be in a bad mood. You know what I mean? It's like they just kind of lift you up, and that's what's so amazing about the entire team. So then the last guy, our newest addition to the team, is Pager.1. And what's really interesting is I've known Pager on Instagram for 11 plus years. I never knew he fingerboarded. I don't even know if he did fingerboard. But I've known him as an artist, and he knew me as one as well. So we actually met many years ago over graffiti, and we've kind of followed each other here and there. And then recently, he had actually known that I had made skateboards, but he didn't know that I was making fingerboards. And I ended up sending him a package. Just, I think he did. He was actually helping me out with some packaging because he owns a packaging company. So I'm making all of my new packaging with him, and he helped in like ideas and design and everything. So I don't know if you've seen the new skatable fingerboard storage box that some of my decks ship in. It's like the premium upgrade. That was his idea. And he said, "Oh, I want you to make this box." And I was like, "No, dude, that's too much." And he's like, "No, dude, we're gonna do it." You know, so him and I worked together. We designed the box, and I'm so thankful that we did that. He had that idea and encouraged me to do like move forward with it.
The game changer.
Yeah, absolutely. And he is again a creative monster. I mean, if you see his page, he's painting, digital artwork, product design, graphic design to the max. I mean, he's like a master at all of it. He's an insane artist. He's a shreds on a skateboard. Like, if you think about like early 2000s technical skateboarding, you know, like hip hop inspired, you know, Fakie 5-0 kickflip out and stuff, like that's the type of skating that he does. It's really sick. So to have him on the team, you know, he's I feel like he's newer in the fingerboard world, but he really carries his weight, and he just, you know, again, he's just so creative. So he is continuously helping me with like updating packaging or sharing ideas. And I just really look forward to like moving forward with him in the future as working, you know, as him being another creative that is willing to help me if I don't have the time, help me do some graphic design and stuff like that, and then help with creative decisions. So that's the whole fingerboard team list, and I'm just going to name a few other guys here. So my shop employees are, here's their Instagrams again: Dumpster Willie underscore FB, Timmy Tim Tim underscore Soup Skates, and Shabazi. And so these guys are my like my skate crew. They're my shop employees. They have made, you know, all like running the shop possible. I am just so tied up with everything. I do work at the skate shop, and I do, you know, I do all the administrative work. I also maintain the website and do all that. But what these guys do is they run the shop while I'm not here, while I'm at, my workspace working on fingerboards and shipping out orders. During this holiday season, I've actually, on the days that the skate shop is closed, I've actually brought my little warehouse into the skate shop, and a couple of the guys helped me pack orders, so instead of me packing orders all day by myself and only being able to finish so many, we could do 100 orders in a day with three of us here working some hours. So to have their help is amazing. And then the other two dudes are like high school. They're in high school, and they have like the whole high school skate crew. They're like the sweetest, coolest kids probably in their school. And I just to be able to have them work at the skate shop, it's really cool because, I skate with these guys anyway. They're like my homies, and we skate at the skate park. We go out skate street and film, and they're just like,
His family.
yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, skate crew family. Yeah, they're the young homies, and they hold down the shop during the week. Like after school gets out, they'll come here and work, and it allows me to do my post office runs and work on my orders and everything. And they running a skate shop, it's not just a retail store. This is like our heart and soul, here. It's not like, hey, I'm gonna go to the store and buy something. When you come into our skate shop, it's like you're coming into like our life. You're coming in, and what we want to do is we're not just trying to sell you a product. We're trying to like hook you up with whatever's gonna give you the best experience. And if you have questions, we're here to answer it. We're here to like share our love of skateboarding and fingerboarding and share with our community and to help it grow, to help inspire others, whether they're young or old, getting back into skateboarding or just starting, or even just, trying to level up. And to have this crew of guys that are so knowledgeable and just they just love skateboarding. You can't beat it. You could teach if you had someone who you t told them all the specifics of skateboarding and about every single product, they still couldn't help you like these guys can. They just love skateboarding so much. They already know everything. It's like second nature. So yeah, that's what it's so cool to have a shop finally and like be able to be not only a part of the worldwide community on the internet, but now to be a service to my local community is just, I think it's something that I've always dreamed of and I've always wanted to participate in. As hard as it is to continue and carry on, like it just feels so good to be a part of it and like share that with the group, meet new people every day and try to inspire, people in our local community. And, we're trying to do that again, like I had mentioned before, with the skate park advocation. And that's also another thing that's like bringing us together here.
No, definitely. That's definitely an awesome experience. When I had the shop, those are the things that I miss the most. It was kind of like losing a little piece of me, honestly. I utterly hope for the best and definitely as much success that you are having coming your way. Like you are doing amazing things for sure, both online on the world and both locally in the community. And that definitely it's starting to show for sure. And I know, like with the 11 team riders, I know you've got to have at least some pro model graphics coming out.
Yeah, so I've had some problems over the past year with getting graphics printed. There's been multiple problems with getting that done, but it is happening. I do have a lot of pro model graphics that are going to release in 2024, so keep an eye out for that. It's gonna be big. I really think that everyone is gonna enjoy it, and it'll be something that, stays true to Chems, but also is something new and fresh. And I think that the team writers will enjoy it. I think that the community will enjoy it. So I'm really looking forward to it.
That's one of the things that I like the most about your brand is like the art behind your brand is definitely unique to you. And for as many other like fingerboarding companies and stuff like that that are out there, I don't see a lot of unique pieces of art that are being produced like they should be for sure. And so that's why, when I look at your brand, your art, stuff like that, I think that's why a lot of us get so excited when we hear stuff like that.
I put a lot into it. I'm not doing I do a lot of like the graphic design and layouts and stuff like that, and color schemes, preparing the graphics for print and all that. But since I am limited on my time, I'm not actually like drawing any of the art myself anymore. I am the instead I'm working and collaborating with small artists from around the world. And lately I've been hiring an artist to do an entire series. So the last artist that I hired to do the last pro model series was probably the biggest art investment I've made at one time. Quite expensive when you're paying an artist of a certain caliber to create custom graphics for that many team members, Yeah, so it all boils down to like basically me finding artists that I like, asking them if they're interested in working with me, and then figuring out if I can afford to pay them enough
Yeah,
to
to do
give
the
that,
product, yeah.
So it's really cool to be able to do that, because I used to be an artist, and people would hire me to do art graphic design and stuff for them. And so now for me to be able to use my brand to support small artists and even showcase them, I feel like it's giving back to the art world as well, and helping, bring some eyes to their artwork and, show their stuff off. And then we get to, have fingerboards with all the coolest artwork on them and everything. So this is actually a sneak peek to the pro model graphics that are coming up. So this artist is Ocho, and he's on Instagram. I think I've tagged him on any photos of this deck, but he actually did the entire pro model series for the next release.
Yeah, for the audio people, he is holding up a completed fingerboard for those not watching. Is this going to be the same deck that we're going to be giving away for the Listen to Win?
So this is the Toon Grim graphic. So I've released this briefly, and what we'll do is, anyone who is listening here, the first person to successfully film a kickflip on a fingerboard and a kickflip on a skateboard and post a clip and tag us and follow us, you will get, we'll mail you a Toon Grim fingerboard in the mid-pro mold shape of your choosing. You can choose from 29 millimeter all the way up to 37 millimeter.
I love it. All right, so let's repeat this for the people on the back. The first person to tag all three accounts, that's Chems FB, USAFBL, USAFBL underscore FBP, doing a kickflip on both a skateboard and on a fingerboard. And this is not a who did it better contest. This is a who does it first contest. So first person to literally film it, post it, tag us, gets this fingerboarding deck from Kems. It's super exciting.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So definitely continue the episode. We're almost done. Then go out and skate and go out and fingerboard and have a chance to win a Kems fingerboard. I'm super stoked to see what you guys got. So you are definitely a skater, definitely a fingerboarder, but like what other hobbies do you have besides those two?
Yeah, skateboarding has always been my number one. I do a lot. I have been an artist for most of my life. As I mentioned before, doing art is what brought me to all of this. Doing art and basically joining my artwork with skateboarding is why I'm doing all of this now. Some other things that I have done in the past, I've been a musician and I've recorded a lot of different types of music, and I've played guitar, bass, drums, keyboard, and I've done vocals as well. So that's been one that was actually like a huge part of my life, being a musician. So before I ever started a skateboard brand or anything, besides skateboarding, what I was doing was I was jamming with my band. We were like traveling around playing shows, recording albums, and doing all of that stuff. It was mainly like punk thrash stuff. And then my guitar player in that band, him and I were like best of friends, and we created multiple side projects. We would play any music that we could. We just write songs. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of songs. We would write them and record them and mess around. It didn't really like come to any professional level past playing shows in our area and maybe getting some money for playing the shows. And, we would hand our albums out. I don't think we ever sold any of our albums or anything. And we were on iTunes for a brief moment. We had a one album there. Since then, I think somehow everything's gotten removed, all of our old music. But anyway, so music has always been like a hobby. I still have a guitar, but I very, very rarely play it. And then I have a synthesizer that I'll mess around with sometimes. But in this day, having hobbies outside of skateboarding and fingerboarding, it doesn't really exist, because I'm literally pouring my every single waking moment into doing this. Like I'm never not working. Like if I'm taking time to do one thing, I'm leaving five other things undone. So it's really been tough, especially lately, since I've opened the skate shop and then had some other major life changes with family and stuff. The basically what I'm trying to do is be like maximum efficient. And I'm trying to develop my efficiency over and over and over again to where I can try to get everything done that I need to do. And even then, like I just can't ever get it done. Like I'm always working. I wake up at 5 a.m. every morning, and I probably work till 11 p.m. every night. Like absolutely no joke. 7 days a week. And I will someday, since I opened the skate shop, I haven't been skating as much. Normally, I'd skate 3 to 4 times a week, easy. But since I opened the shop, I've only skated probably like once or twice every 2 weeks. So yeah, there's not really a ton of room for hobbies. I'm trying to get to the point to where I can quit my day job. I'm an avionics technician on private jets. I've been doing that for 14 years, and I work 40 hours each week there. I'm supposed to. Lately, I haven't actually been showing up to work because I have too many things to do with chems and the skate shop. So chems and Skate 618 have taken priority as far as my work life goes. I still do work on jets, and I still show up to my job on a regular basis, but I end up leaving early or sometimes calling off completely. I'm leaving work to go work on chems and stuff. So, yeah, I will make a point to get out and skate. Sometimes I just have to say, well, sorry, I can't get stuff done today. I need to take 2 hours, or I can't get everything done today. I need to take 2 hours and go skate before my brain explodes, So I'll go skate and like give myself some time to not think, about anything but doing a front side tail slide and relaxing.
I feel that. I feel that in my bones. Me, I kind of have this similar story because, I run USAFEL, and it's weird because, like, I have a 40-hour job as well, but somehow, like, my 40-hour job is like my part-time side hustle, and like running USAFEL, doing the podcast, doing the tour, doing Combo of the Year, doing all these projects and just online sales, merchandise, everything that comes along with it. You get like overwhelmed with it, and like you kind of get to the point where like I have a job, but it's not even like the focal point of my life. And a lot of people, like, their job is the focal point of their life. And it's weird for like me to hear you kind of like give me this realization that like I've got a job, but it's not even, I consider it a side hustle, like, if that makes any sense. Like, that's what I do when, like, I'm trying to do my main thing. It's not my main.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me, they're like, so what's your full-time job? And I was like, well, I have three full-time jobs, and one of them that has health insurance is working on jets, and that's why I still work there, to keep my health insurance. Yeah, super thankful to have that job. It's been an amazing job. I've learned a lot from it and developed a lot of work ethic. And obviously, I have like a family there as well, but I'm looking forward every day. I'm looking forward to when I'll be able to quit. And my wife is actually going to take on a job with health insurance that will hopefully be able to allow me to make that switch. And then I'll be able to focus full time and maybe have a little bit of time to not work. Maybe I'll get like 8 hours a week off or something like that. I'd love it.
That's the dream. That is the dream. So, do you have any like future upcoming projects that we haven't spoken on? Or do we pretty much cover everything?
The Pro Model Graphics with Ocho. Definitely we'll be doing another collaboration with Goo, with the Devil Egg shape coming out in 2024. Those will be limited again, so if you guys have been wanting that shape, definitely keep an eye out and grab it up, because they will sell out. I've been in collaboration with Black Cat Grip Co. here.
That box is fire. And for you guys that aren't aware, Black Cat Grip Co., their grip tape is actually pretty good. I got gifted a sheet of tape and it is pretty fire. We did a Teak Tuning did a Secret Santa, and so I got gifted a sheet of Black Cat tape along with some other stuff, and it's pretty grippy. Like, I would recommend giving them a try.
So I think one of the questions here we had was asking me about Chem's tape. So one thing I had been known for in the past was having my own tape. I've had a few different versions of it, and a lot of people liked it, and a lot of people kind of like lived by it. And you know how it is when you find the tape that you like, you never want to change, you know? And I think the reality about tape is that foam tape specifically is that it can change in consistency from batch to batch. So sometimes whenever a company will make a batch and have, you know, thousands of sheets from that batch, it'll last for a long while and it's consistent from box to box or bag to bag or whatever. But then whenever they need to have more made, the next batch can actually feel different from the previous batch. And so I've had some extreme problems with keeping any consistency with my tape. And I have like thousands of sheets of tape that I can't release because of those inconsistency problems with the manufacturing process. So I decided over time that I wasn't going to continue making my own tape anymore, and I wanted to find a brand that could do that, you know, that could handle that stuff so I wouldn't have to. And I ended up finding the Black Cat. Anyway, so instead of carrying my M's tape anymore, switched everything over to Black Cat because I sold out of all of my previous tape. Me and Goo are in collaboration with Black Cat. It's kind of like an overall collaborative project. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say, really. They offer multiple styles. They just came out with like the new Black Cat skate, and there's like white and clear, and they have a 2.0 version. So there's all different styles of foam tape and rubber tape and skate tape and stuff like that. So, and whoever does the kickflip, we'll throw in a pack of Black Cat as well.
Ooh, look at that. So you got the Chems deck with the Black Cat sheet of tape. I love it.
We'll throw in a whole box
Ooh,
of
a whole
tape.
box. Okay. Chems doing it big on the cast. All right, well, we've got questions from the internet. So we went out, we asked everybody on Instagram, everybody on Facebook, let everybody know that Kems is on the mic and to ask you some questions. And I'm not gonna lie, like I knew like your following, your brand was big, but I had no idea how just the love and the relationship between you and your fans are. Like the amount of questions that we have gotten for your episode is absolutely overwhelming. We probably got 30, 40 questions. I'm not going to go through all 30 or 40 questions, but we could literally do a part two series of this just answering fan questions. Like, absolutely amazing and absolutely just overwhelming. Like, just how like supportive your followers are, your fans are. Like, it's for me, like it kind of brought a little tear to my eye. I was like, man, like you got some serious hardcore fans and like they want to know. But anyways, without any further ado, like let's get into it. We'll get into a few. I know that there's no way we can get through all of them, so we'll probably do like two or three, maybe four. We'll see how we feel, but let's get
Okay,
into it.
cool.
All right, so question one, what's your favorite urethane wheels?
Oh man, I hate this question. All
I
right, so
know, put you on the spot.
okay, so it's really hard for me to answer that because I use every single urethane wheel that I carry on my website, plus other brands that I'm a fan of. So like right now I have Pyro wheels here on this setup.
Love it.
And I love the Pyro wheels. I love Waisaki wheels. I carry both of those. And people always tell me, they're like, oh, you just say that because you carry them and you want to sell them. Well, it's actually the other way around. I carry them because they're products that I've used that I stand behind, you know? So obviously, Ill Pills are one of my favorite urethane wheels. Ill Pills are kind of like a classic raw type of urethane. I love the feel. They're super smooth.
Their
The white.
bearings are super fast, probably the
Yeah,
fastest
yeah.
spinning bearings I've ever seen in my life. And their packaging is on point.
Yeah, and then the Waisaki wheels are actually like extremely durable. They are reminiscent of a true skateboard wheel, so they kind of have like the realism there, which I love. And I tried out the new Joycult wheels. I really enjoy those, which I'm really excited about that Scott brought that back.
Definitely. I'm excited
Yeah.
for him to start ramping up more production of that stuff. So,
Yeah. So those feel good. Yeah, anything that I carry on my website, if it's on there, it means I've used it and I enjoy it. I don't know. Right now, I think my favorite urethane is Waisaki wheels.
they're a good
Just
wheel.
because of how smooth and durable they are, and I've never had a bearing slip, or anything like that. So
No, that's literally what he does, is like the whole CNC process. We actually did a podcast episode with him, so if you, I'll probably drop in his podcast episode if you want to check him out. But his wheels also come with a lifetime warranty, so he stands behind that for sure.
Keelan is a good dude. I like
Yeah,
him.
no, definitely. All right, question number two. Do you struggle with burnout? And if you do, how do you keep yourself moving? This one's kind of a big one because we all pretty much work ourselves to the ground. So it's interesting to see what you got to say.
I'm burnt out. I am absolutely burnt out. I honestly don't know how I continue moving some days. Like I have like horrible thoughts and I feel depressed and all this stuff, and as winter comes along, as the days are darker, that really affects me a lot. As I get busier and busier, and as life continues to happen and things go wrong, when it rains, it pours. Right now it's pouring. Like I have just endless amounts of things that I'm dealing with. I have to continue working. I think having the work to do and the support from the community and knowing that I'm supporting people in what they love to do, I think that helps keep me up on top and motivated. So it's kind of like a motivation of love, a motivation of like passion that helps me stay moving forward. As where if maybe all I did was my day job that I didn't have a passion in, it would be easier to crash and burn, and not be able to get back up. But, like with skateboarding and fingerboarding, all we do is continue to try and try and try until we do it, and I feel like that is kind of just like embedded within me. And it's because of our passion. We're not, it's just because it's something that we want to do. We're not trying to land the trick because it's going to make us money. We're trying to land the trick because it's like just what we want to do. And because this is something that I enjoy, because skateboarding and fingerboarding is like the core of my existence, and that I get to share that with other people who are supporting me in many ways, including financially, that helps me just stay on top and wake up every day and just continue just grinding,
No, definitely. I feel that for sure. All right, this last question is kind of like a two-part question, but we'll roll with it. What has been the best and also the hardest part about opening your skate shop and running both Kems and Skate 618? So let's start with the hardest.
Okay, so the hardest thing is managing time and delegating jobs to people. I feel like that's one thing that I have been doing in my, I've done that stuff definitely in my day job over the years, and I've learned it from that, but it's completely different, the setting of a skate shop and chems and stuff, because the time management is basically the hardest thing, like juggling day-to-day life, having to go to work, Doing all my post office times and my the times when I'm allowed or when I'm able to ship, the times that I have time to work on products in my workshop, the availability that I have to use my lab space, which is like my working space that I rent. I call that the lab. I have to juggle all those availabilities, and that's all the hardest. The hardest thing is trying to be efficient with my time, because that's what I don't have enough of is time.
Now I feel that. What's the best?
The best part about
Opening your shop and running chems, yeah.
the best part about opening the shop is really like, interacting with our local community, being able to share fingerboarding and skateboarding with new people, or even open people's eyes to a deeper part of each of those worlds. And just to kind of like serve the community and see directly how I'm, helping someone have fun on a daily basis. It's really cool. Like, I'd say the best thing with running chems is like whenever I get those messages or set up photos and people DM me and they're like, "Yo, I love dude, I just got the deck. The quality is sick. Like, thank you so much for making this. Like, this is so sick. I can't wait to make an edit," or whatever. Like, when I read that stuff every single time, like, it hits my heart, and I'll never be, it'll never change. Like, every time someone reaches out, it means the world. It just feels so good to be able to like share the same love and passion with others and be able to make a product that allows them to like progress and feel that same love, for what it is that they're doing. That's definitely the best part, is like hearing back from the customers and just having their support.
No, definitely. That's I live for that stuff. Like, I think almost every person who has a brand pretty much lives for that stuff. So I know you've got probably a decent sized list of shout outs that you wanna give out.
Well, I basically shouted everyone out earlier. Basically my whole team and my employees. There is quite a long list of shout outs that I would have. I probably be here for another hour, but it's kind of just like, to all the customers, all the homies, even if it's just someone like liking or commenting on Instagram, like shout out to everyone that has done something like that from day one. The people that have shared with me and encouraged me to make things, the people who critique me. Even like some of the haters, like basically everyone along the way, for me to be able to get to this point. It's a dream that I never knew I had, and a shout out to my wife for like dealing with me. I'm probably psycho like to live with. My wife just supports me like every step of the way. She always has, like, my late nights up drawing graphics, or like how many times I tell her about the new product that I'm designing or 3D modeling, and how many, she looks at it and just, even though she might not understand what it is or care, she's like always there to support me. Then of course all the local skate crew, all the young homies that come in the shop, those guys have like really helped keep me going with the skate shop, and the whole fingerboard team, everyone that I mentioned earlier, those guys really hold it down, and they represent Chems in a way that really speaks to the brand, and Yeah, dude, I think that's everyone. And thank you for having me on the podcast. Thank you for to other people who have had me on the podcast, the whole fingerboarding community that has allowed me to take part here. And yeah, I love all of it. Love everyone.
No, definitely. I'm glad that we were able to get you on the cast and get your story out there. And hopefully now, your fans have a much deeper, more understanding of you and what you got going on, and they just absolutely fall in love with you even more. And so definitely stoked to have you on. I've got a few shout outs as well. So first off, if you're watching this before anybody else on our Patreon account, thank you, thank you, thank you for all of the love and support. Also, if you want to find episodes, anything from the USFBO universe before everybody else, definitely get on our Patreon account, get subscribed to our early access. Also, we've got subscription boxes, cool gear, shirts, all kinds of cool stuff. So definitely check that out. Got Kems on the podcast. We're watching the video side. We've got all the skateboards, all the gear. We're gonna have links in the descriptions. We're gonna have all of that ready for you guys as well. We also got about 7 more days probably after this cast comes out to get your final combination trick in to Combo of the Year, giving out $1,000 cash and prizes. So definitely submit your best combination trick to USAFBO underscore COTY. Kems, where can people find you? Where can people find your store? Where can people find you online? Like, where do we get a hold of you?
Okay, so online, chemsfb.com, also skate618.com. Those are both the same website, just one's for the skate shop and one's for Chem's fingerboards. Most everything is in the online store. I've got skateboards from all different brands, trucks, wheels, everything. I've got all the fingerboard gear from Chem's and other brands. And then on Instagram is kind of my main social media. So at ChemsFB, that's ChemsFB. And then the skate shop Instagram is skate.618. Then I have a skate page, a skateboard page, Chems underscore skate. So you can follow those and you can check that out. One other thing I wanted to mention was I've been advocating to have a local skate park built in our community. We've never had one. And this is mostly for the local community to participate in signing our petition and stuff like that. But if you'd like to follow and kind of like keep an eye on the process of building a skate park and see how it develops, you can follow Edwardsville Skate Park Project on Instagram and see how it develops. You can see the link to the petition and you could sign it if you wanted. So, yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, and I'll definitely make that much, much easier by leaving all those links in the description, both on the audio and the video side, just to make things easier for you. Kems, thanks for coming on the show. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, dude, thanks for having me. Hopefully next time we can get Gary on and hey, maybe you could come in the shop and we could do a live podcast here.
No, definitely. Like I said, I plan on going through and when I go down for Christmas. So I will definitely make a stop. I'll hit you up obviously before and make sure everything's cool. But yeah, let's do it. Till next time.
All right, thanks, dude.